Now may the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be always acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. You may be seated. Well, the Feast of Pentecost, like Passover, was originally an Old Testament feast. The scriptures teach that Pentecost, or the Feast of Weeks, as it is sometimes called, took place on the 50th day after Passover. So it was a set feast in the Jewish calendar. It was, for those of you, if you're thinking about this mathematically, it was a week of weeks after Pentecost. So 7 weeks of 7 days each. Anyway, math is hard, I know. Well, as you read through the Pentateuch, you see that it was an agricultural feast which marked the end of the grain harvest. But there's also a deep legend among the Jewish rabbis that Pentecost also marked the day on which God gave the law to Israel at Mount Sinai. Assuming this is true, this opens our eyes to some interesting comparisons and contrasts between these two events. For instance, the giving of the law in the book of Exodus took place at Mount Sinai. The outpouring of the Holy Spirit on this day took place on Mount Zion in Jerusalem. In the Old Testament story, God descended upon Mount Sinai, and his presence was accompanied by fire upon the mountain. Here at this feast, the Spirit of God descended upon the disciples of Jesus Christ and rested upon their heads in tongues of fire. In the Old Testament story, clear boundaries were marked for the children of Israel. They were not to come near the mountain or to touch it, not to try to come and get a glimpse of God in the fire and in the cloud. In fact, the penalty for doing so would be death. But on this feast of Pentecost, God condescends to come down and enter into the hearts of all of Christ's disciples. That is, God came so near that he entered into them. Well, I'm sure if we had more time, we could draw even more connections between these two events, the giving of the law and the giving of the Holy Spirit. But there is one intriguing connection which I would like to focus our attention upon this morning. Shortly after God spoke the law at Sinai, Moses was called upon the mountain to receive the stone tablets on which the law was recorded. In fact, recorded with the finger of God. You heard that in one of our hymns moments ago. God revealed to his redeemed people what his expectations were for them as they entered into this covenant with him. These are the Ten Commandments, which were so central to Old Testament revelation. As we all know, even though they knew what God expected of them, Israel struggled to live up to those commandments. This is why, later in her history, God sent several prophets who announced to his people that he intended to make a new covenant with them. Listen to the words of Jeremiah in this regard. He said, "Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in that day that I took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt, my covenant which they broke, though I was a husband to them, says the Lord. But this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will put my law in their minds and write it on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people." Here the Lord recalls the covenant which he made with Israel when he delivered them from their bondage in Egypt. He notes that they broke his covenant, which is likened to a covenant of marriage. Nevertheless, the Lord is promising a new covenant with new promises. And one of those promises is that the Lord will put his law into the minds of his people and write it on their hearts. I'm sure that when these promises were given, the people probably wondered, how could God take the law that was engraved on those tablets of stone and now engrave it on our hearts? Well, today's feast is the answer to such a question. God poured out his Holy Spirit upon all of his people, and one of the ministries that the Spirit would have is to write God's law in the hearts of his people. In fact, when we recite the Ten Commandments in our liturgy, we respond to each of the first nine commandments by saying, Lord, have mercy upon us and incline our hearts to keep this law. And then on the tenth commandment, we respond, Lord, have mercy upon us and write all these thy laws in our hearts, we beseech thee. I'm not sure that we realize what a great privilege this is for us. In light of this great event which we celebrate today, the Holy Spirit comes into the hearts and minds of every Christian. The third person of the Trinity comes to reside in our souls. We can now truly say that God is with us in every place and at all times. This is something that the average Israelite never experienced under the old covenant. This is why Jesus, teaching his disciples about this very event on the night before he went to the cross, said in our gospel lesson today, and I will pray the Father, and he will give you another comforter that he may abide with you forever, the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. Did you catch that last line regarding the Spirit? He dwells with you and he will be in you. That is the great truth of this festival, that God the Spirit comes to dwell in the heart of every Christian. At the Feast of Pentecost, the Spirit was poured out upon all in the upper room. And now, at our baptism, we experience our own personal Pentecost, as it were, as the Spirit is poured out upon each of us. He comes to reside in each of us. And one of the primary ministries that he has is to sanctify us, that is, to make us holy. How does he accomplish this? One of the ways is by writing God's law upon our hearts. The Spirit has come to convict the world of sin, righteousness, and judgment. Now, when we break God's commandments, the Spirit immediately brings conviction to us, conviction in our hearts. And he does this so that we might repent, walk in obedience to God. All of this is ultimately the answer to the cry of King David in Psalm 51, which we recite so frequently, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. The same Spirit who hovered over the waters at the original creation now comes into every believer's heart and hovers, creating and making. This is one of the great truths of the Feast of Pentecost. Listen as John Keble, one of the great Anglican authors of the 19th century, sums up these truths in one of his memorable poems. When God of old came down from heaven, in power and wrath he came. Before his feet the clouds were riven, half darkness and half flame. But when he came the second time, he came in power and love. Softer than gale at morning prime, hovered his holy dove. The fires that rushed on Sinai down in sudden torrents dread, now gently light a glorious crown on every sainted head. On this great feast of Pentecost, may we learn to recognize the presence of the Holy Spirit in each of our lives. And more importantly, may we learn to listen to his leading us as he writes God's law upon our hearts. Amen. And now let us remember the words of our Lord Jesus, how he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive.